Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
The blood that Jesus shed for me
seated in God's house. I was one of those that really needed some blood. Amen. I don't know about you. Maybe we got some people out there that was perfect, but I tell you what, when he found me, amen, because I didn't find him, he found me. I was rotten in sin. Amen. I was rotten in depravity, dying. Hallelujah. Sometimes we're dying and don't even know we're dying. That's actually a worse scenario, but I thank God for the blood. Hallelujah. Because there's one single thing in this universe that can set men free. It goes past men's concepts, man's schemes, man's ploys, everything that he can invent to try to fix man's depraved situation. And it's the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And let's give God a hand one more time. Hallelujah. We thank you for the blood, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. We thank you for the blood. We want to go before the Lord in prayer. And I toiled with what to bring to the people. One thing, as always, I like to seek the Lord about what to bring, what to share, because we're in terrible times, people. We're at the last of the last days. And it's too short to just come with something off the top of your head or just something that you think might be good to say. And I toiled and toiled, and there was a few things in my spirit that God has given me that I've even shared other places, and I couldn't get away from this one thing. So I know that I've got a word from the Lord for you. So I ask you to just stay with me, stay open, stay focused, and I guarantee you there's something in it for you. You're not here by coincidence. If you came, I see a lot of Facebook friends here, some familiar faces. Amen. People I haven't seen in years. I want to encourage you. You're here not by coincidence, but God is the divine appointment. Amen. Father, we come to you by the authority in the name of Jesus. And Father, we just come and say thank you for the blood of Christ, Lord. Thank you for access that we never had if it wasn't for you. Thank you for really the only access that means anything, Lord. Lord, access to credit cards means nothing if you don't have the blood. Access to groups of people mean nothing without your blood. But, Father, you gave us free access to your grace, through your blood, Father, and we thank you. And I ask you right now, in this situation here with these people, your people before me, Father, I know, I trust that you went before them and prepared them. And, Father, I ask you to protect the vibrations that come across these speakers, Father, that the listener can leave knowing more about you and what you did for them. In the name of Jesus, amen. Hallelujah. We're going to start out in Romans chapter 11. And we're going to start out in verse 11. And while you're turning to Romans 11, just to kind of recap on the point of Romans. Romans was is an awesome book where Paul eloquently laid out what the plan of salvation was. And here he points out the fact that it was to the Jew as well as the Gentile. And in the first several chapters, you hear him talking about by grace we're saved through faith. As you move on farther toward chapter 6, 7, and 8, he lays out that it's only through the bloodshed of the cross of Jesus Christ that not only are we justified, but we're also sanctified. How many of you know that's an awesome message in and of itself? Amen. Most of the church is trying to get sanctified through other means, through ploys and schemes and things that can they think might give them the solution. But by the time you get to chapter 11, he's dealing with that issue of the Jews. And I want to lay a foundation here that the first part of this message is not necessarily the shouting part, but we're going to shout today. Just stay with me. We're going to thank God for what he's did for us. But it's a sobering thought to think that these beautiful people, the Jewish people, could be cut off by not going God's way. People that were given such a great plan of salvation, people that were given a very culture that came straight from heaven. How many of you know our judicial system is laid deep in Judeo-Christian ethics? Amen. Things go back to what God gave those original Jews. How many of you know there's health laws laid down in the Jewish law? There's things that can bless humanity and what he gave those Jews. And how many of you know the Bible says salvation is to the Jew first? So there's some importance here. But Paul's going to lay down some sobering facts that separate friendship from what's right. Amen. Sometimes, you know, I may love you, Paul, but I got to do what's right. If you're wrong, you're wrong. My best friend Richie back there, you know, I may love Richie, but if I've got to say or do something that lays a blow to him, I've got to do that. And let's go here. Chapter 11, verse 11, he says, I say then, Have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation has come to the Gentiles. And what he's talking about is the stumbling of the Jews. It wasn't, God did not want them to have to fall, that God could put the revelation of who he is on the Gentiles. But look at the second part. That's what I want to capitalize on. For to provoke them to jealousy. I want to tell you something. There's people in the body of Christ right now that say, bless God, I've been a Pentecostal for 20 years. I know the word of God, but they've got no fruit. Amen. And God will raise up a crackhead in the midst of them, and it'll do more wonders for God. And you know what? It provokes people to jealousy. There's people that said, I've sat in this church by God 10 years. I'm a deacon and an elder and a prophet. You know what? But you look at their life, is there any fruit? God will raise up a whore, save her and cleanse her and set her free, and she'll sing the gospel to people and set the captives free. Amen? I'm here to tell you that there's something about God's way that transcends what you think you're doing that may be right. And he's saying that he wanted to provoke them to jealousy. And he will use the very thing that people have cast aside. I'm speaking to somebody. You may have been cast aside, amen? And you may have been people that they said you wasn't going to last or become anything, but I want you to know that if you come God's way, he'll use you, amen? He'll provoke somebody to jealousy through you, amen? The Bible says that Jesus was the stone that the builders rejected, amen? But he's the chief, hallelujah. That's how he deals, church. And he said that he was wanting to provoke them to jealousy. Go to verse 12. Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them be the riches of the Gentile, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my office. God shifted things because of the Jews pretty much worshiping their culture more than the giver of the culture, worshiping their system more than who the system represented. How many of you know the sacrifice was a good thing, but it was the picture that it represented? Amen. You could kill a lamb all you want today, ain't doing nothing. Amen. The lamb was already slain. Glory to God. And how many of you know if you worship your church, if you think there's special rights because of where you attend, how many of you know even in this message of the cross, if you think, well, bless God, I sit under a cross preaching church, and you're not willing to get what God's got for you, if you're not willing to do what it says do and look to him for everything like the song said, Lord, I look to you. Amen. How many of you know we're in danger of being cut off just like the Jews were? Hallelujah. And it says, verse 14, if by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, it might save some of them. How many know God wants to use you? Amen. God wants to use you. God wants to use you. And when he uses the provocation or the provoking of your life, you're not involved in it. Amen. You have nothing to do with it. God may use you to provoke me, Paul, and you don't even know what's going on. How many of you know if we get involved in it, we contaminate this thing? We don't want to get involved in it. Amen. Just let God use you. Hallelujah. So it happens when you walk a lot, your pages flip. Verse 15. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the death? For if the first fruits be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. How many of you know the whole goal is to be a branch today? Hallelujah. We're going to talk, but we're going. I'm just laying the foundation. We're going somewhere because the Bible reveals men as trees. Amen. And we're branches. Hallelujah. We could go to Psalms 1:1. Said, blessed are them that walk not in the way of the counsel, in the seat of the scornful, and stand in the way of sinners, but they should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. How many know we're trees in this walk? Hallelujah. Verse 17 says, and if some of the branches be broken off, and you, being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them partake of the root and the fatness of the olive tree. I want to capitalize on this. Those of you that came in, you may not even realize it. You're a wild olive tree. If your faith is in Jesus Christ and what he did on Calvary, and you're abiding in the cross, and you're trusting for the sap of that tree, which is the Holy Ghost, amen, to rule and reign your life, you're called a wild olive tree. This is a humbling message, amen. This is a sober message, because sometimes we can think higher of ourselves than we really ought to. The thing about it, wild means you weren't even really intended to be there. Glory to God. You weren't even intended to be one of them. But God, through his grace and mercy, somebody needs to get a holy thought about you really didn't deserve this. Sometimes we think I got this coming because of how long I've been saved, because I've been a Pentecostal for 20 years. Oh, I've been in church. I know how this thing goes. Let me tell you something. You're a wild olive branch. Hallelujah. You're wild. Glory to God. And he says, and with them partake of the root of the fatness of the olive tree. Verse 18. Boast not against the branch, but if you boast, you bear not the root, but the root bears you. You will say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. You know what? The point here to be made is this. If God's willing to break off someone that he loves so much, his original people, from the fat of the land, and from the sap of that tree to graft you in. How many of you know, saints, we better stick to the gospel. We better stick to what works. We better stick to what, this is not playtime. This is serious times here. You know the thought that the Lord gave me? Some of y'all are probably blessed not to have been in courts your whole life. But I've been before that judge a few times. And let me tell you something. I've seen guys that were the most brutish, thuggish, the best using four-letter words that can spit them out, they get before that judge. You know what it is? Yes, Your Honor. Yes, sir. Just sit there and be quiet. Why? Because it's a serious, sobering thought. And I want you to understand something. If we don't go God's way, I don't care how long you've been sitting in church. I don't care how long you claim to have been an elder, prophet, or pastor. You got to go God's way. Amen. You say, well, Brother Mahari, what is his way? You have to keep your faith at the cross. Amen. You got to keep your faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ and what he did for everything. Glory to God. And we're going to go there. Verse 19. You will say then, the branches are broken off that I might be grafted in. Verse 20. Well, because of unbelief, they were broken off, and you stand by faith. Hallelujah. How many of you are believing today? Amen. How many of you are standing in faith? And you know what that in the Greek is? It's not just faith, it's the faith. Hallelujah. We live in a day and age where we've butchered the word faith. I remember times where I was sitting under faith. Supposed faith teachers, you know what they told me? It had me thinking that this faith walk was a walk almost like Yoda. You know where Yoda would sit there and grunt like he's laying an egg, and all of a sudden this thing would levitate? That's not faith, brothers and sisters. You know what faith is? I need help today. Lord, I'm looking to the cross because I know through your cross, the blood shed produces the grace that I need. Lord, my mind is going off on some things today, but I'm looking to the cross because at the cross is where the blood shed produced the grace that I need. Lord, I need financial help today, Lord. I'm not going to hit those streets, but I thank you, Lord, because at the cross you produced my prosperity. Lord, I need a car today. I'm not going to worry, Lord, because I know all my needs are met through your riches and glory by Christ Jesus, which means by through what you did at the cross. That's what faith means. Somebody give God a hand. This ain't faith where you got to sit there. You know, the day of Cadillac faith is over. The day of having a Chevette faith is over. Because the guys that say you got Cadillac faith are only the ones that can teach it. Amen. You know what? You can roll in here in a Pinto and teach faith to me. You know why? Because I want to see the fruit. I want to see the fruit. What's coming out of your life? Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. And he said that some were cut off because of what? Unbelief. How many of you know we've got to stand in faith? That's what separates those that get cut off and those that don't. Even those that were knee-deep in the culture of this thing that God originally gave the revelation to, that he says he's going to visit back again. And there's a time coming after the tribulation. He's going to wake them guys up. because he loves those precious people. But do you know, as much as he loves them, he will let the law fall down on them? And you may say, well, what kind of God is that? Well, you know what? I'll tell you what kind of God. It's a God that does not change. It's a God that I could turn to when my back's up against the wall. It's a God that I know if I just turn back and go back to my first love, he'll always be there. It's a God that doesn't one day he's this way, the next day he's that way. He's a God that stays the same. Hallelujah. I'd rather you be that way and know how you are than to be up and down and changing all the time. Hallelujah. I'd rather have a God that says, just believe me and you're accepted. Hallelujah. So it's not a crime against God to cut people off because they don't believe. And we live in a day and age where when you try to take this revelation past justification to sanctification, now all of a sudden you get problems. That's what Paul said. Paul said, if I preach circumcision, it's okay. But if I leave circumcision and talk about grace, all of a sudden you want to crucify me and hurt me. It's no different in the church world today. The church world wants you to be able to believe God to get in the kingdom. But when it comes to what do I do, they want to consult the world. They want to turn the network marketing to fill the church up. Amen. They want to turn to psychology to get the mind fixed. How many of there's only one person that can regulate the mind? That's Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And you know what? You're in danger. I didn't say you wasn't saved. I don't got a heaven to put you in or a hell to throw you out of. I think it goes vice versa. But you know what? I will tell you this. If you dabble in these other things and you're claiming to be justified, you're hanging over dangerous grounds. Paul said he's laying it out. He's laying out these beautiful people that loved him so much, that he revealed his initial revelation to, and he said they were cut off for unbelief. Verse 20. Well, because of unbelief, they were broken off, and you stand by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. That's a holy fear. You know what? That's a word of those of us that are holding on. Amen. We got to sometimes keep this thing right. I'm a wild olive branch. If it really got what I deserve, I shouldn't even be in this kingdom. I really shouldn't even be in this thing. I'm so grateful. And you know what? That produces the praise sometimes. Because there's an attitude of gratitude. When a man knows that he shouldn't even be standing before you, you know what? It makes my lips stammer a little bit. It makes me want to cry before I get before you. Because I'm so undone. Amen. I don't deserve this. But he's a good God, y'all. Amen. He's a good God. And I challenge you today, begin to fear him. Begin to fear him. If the church will get fear of the Lord back in the house, and we'll begin to fear God again. Hallelujah. Verse 21. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed, lest he spare not you. Amen. Are you hearing it? I don't even got to really say much more. Take heed, church. If we don't stick to the cross, our life is in danger. And there's 101 things out there to point you in another direction. I can name them. Some of you already know what they are. Positive thinking. Have you ever went to church and you felt like Tony Robbins was the preacher? You ever went somewhere and you had the success seminar guy and he's slideshowing you? Come on. I done had enough of that. When I was sinking in sin, when I was smoking crack, robbing people and stealing from my own household, stealing from myself, amen, I don't need Tony Robbins. I need a helper in the house. I need a healer, amen. I need somebody that could take that sin-sick soul, take out what was in it, and put something fresh inside. Amen. Tony Robbins, success seminars can't help. Only Jesus Christ. And there's a lost and dying world out here, and we're giving them garbage. We're giving them stuff that keeps them dangling over the fires. Church, I challenge you, give them the truth. Amen. Give them Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Yes. Verse 22. Behold, therefore, the goodness and the severity of God on which... Hey, stop right there. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Look at the goodness and the severity. You know love has two sides to it. Love had me whoop Elijah last night. I've been doing a lot of it lately, too. I don't know about y'all. But you know what? Love also I got anything, he can get it. Anything. And you know what? He's adopted. You know what? You're grafted in too. Glory to God. Oh, my goodness, that gives me chill bumps. Let me tell you, church, we can all partake from the goodness of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Anything in the kingdom, it's ours. Hallelujah. It's ours. But you know what? The severity and the goodness of God, they both come from the same God. They both come from the same God. In this day where all we get is a fun gospel, it's not just fun, guys. It's not just a fun gospel. Now, on those who fail the goodness, it is fun. Amen? Amen. But you know what makes Elijah have goodness for me? Because he knows that he can also get his butt whooped. Amen? Hallelujah. Verse 22. And therefore, for goodness and severity of God, on them which fell severity, but toward goodness if you continue in his goodness, otherwise you shall also be cut off. I'm going to keep moving. Verse 23. And they also, if they abide. I want you to hold on to that word abide for the next passage we're going to go to. Here's the key. If they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in. God is able to graft them in again. Thank God for a God. If you're sitting there and you're out and you're sensing, you may be listening on a CD even. You may be in the audience. But you're listening and you're questioning yourself. That's what you're supposed to. Shouldn't the word can do for you what man can never do? How many of you can read the word and hear a message and the Holy Spirit shine lights on you? I was in a program called a TC, and I thank God for him because anytime man wants to help men, my hat goes off to him because most people don't even care. But we had a thing called pull up. That if you begin to show bad fruit, which we're talking about fruit, believe it or not. If you showed bad behaviors or bad fruits, they had things, pull up, brother. You know what I'm talking about, Richie. Pull up. And the whole pull-up system was designed that if I kept you accountable to another brother or sister, you're going to get your life together. And you won't want to mess up in front of them. Well, how many of you know, you can't pull me up when I'm away from you. You can't pull me up at night. You can't pull me up if we're on opposite sides of the street. You can't pull me up in my mind. You better have something on the inside, amen. You better have the king puller upper, which is Jesus Christ, amen. Man comes up with schemes and ploys, but I'm here to tell you they won't work, hallelujah. I'm here to tell you they won't last. They have no staying power. But this gospel that I'm telling you about, it'll last. It'll keep you when there's nobody else to keep you. It'll keep you in the midnight hour when nobody's around, hallelujah. It'll keep you when you're thinking about going back into the flesh and nobody's there. Nobody's there to see you. Nobody's there to see you walk off to the left or to the right. Who's there to pull you up now, brother? Jesus Christ will be that man. Amen. There's a thing called the Holy Ghost, and it's real. Amen. The world has made it a joke, but it ain't a joke. Amen. He's a real entity. He's a person. Amen. And he'll take lodge in your life through simple faith, and he'll show you when you're doing wrong. He'll nudge you when you're going left to center. Hallelujah. Verse 23, and they also, speaking of Israel, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in. He will bring you back. If you're sitting left of center, if you're sitting outside of that goodness and you're sitting under the severity of God, I want to let you know something. He's a bring you back in type of God. Amen. He's a bring you back in. I started out in the Lord. Backslid like crazy. Sister Twyla remembers. We were all serving the Lord in church. But you know what? I took a big spill. And you know what? God brought me back. He'll bring you back today. You may be listening on a CD today. I want to encourage you. God will bring you back. He will graft you in. He will adopt you. And God gave me another picture this morning to share with you. Sometimes we take for granted this faith, this thing we don't deserve, this power of the Lord that we partake from on a day-to-day basis, that blood that never loses its power. You know what it's the picture of? You ever go to these orphanages, or have you ever seen it even on television? scores of children that wish they had a mommy and daddy and can't get one. And you're sitting there, maybe you're a child in this room, and maybe you've got a mommy and daddy. And there's a child that wishes they had what you had. You know, we can take for granted this goodness of God and begin to think that we had a sense of entitlement. I've been in church. I know this walk. You're a wild olive branch, church. You're a wild olive branch. And what's God looking for? We're going to talk about it. Verse 24, for if you were cut off of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be natural branches, be grafted back into the olive tree? If you're that person who loved the Lord 20 years in the church, you know, seasoned in God, but you know fruit kind of fell off your branches, you may be sitting in here or you may be listening by audio CD. I want to tell you, he'll bring fruit back into your life. Amen. All you've got to do is repent. You may have been provoked to jealousy, seeing people less with time in the Lord. You may see people that were, man, they were drunks, doing great exploits for God. Why not me, God? God's using them to provoke you, that's all. He's trying to show you what you can do if you just simply keep your faith in him. Hallelujah. Turning your Bibles, we're going to go somewhere last. We're going to go to St. John chapter 15. St. John chapter 15. Remember that word abide we told you to hold on to. What's God looking for? He's looking for fruit. What hangs on vines? What hangs on trees, church? It's fruit. Amen. So we know the fruit of the Spirit. I'm going to spat it off and probably miss some. Love, joy, peace, faith, long-suffering, goodness, temperance, meekness. I think that's the seven. And there's all kind of characteristics under each one. We need fruit. That's how you judge. The Bible doesn't say you'll know them by their suits, but you'll know them by their fruits. Amen. We could put all kind of suits on, but ain't got no fruit inside. Amen. Hallelujah. And you know, you can have all kind of fruits and be just look like you ain't got nothing going on the inside. But if you look a little closer, hallelujah, hallelujah. Go to verse 1 of St. John chapter 15. It says, I am the true vine. This is what Jesus said, not Paul. This is Jesus. He says, I am the true vine. Glory to God. I thank God that I didn't have to turn to psychological help. I thank God that I didn't have to turn to the latest book that was sitting in Walmart shelves. I thank God I didn't have to turn to the latest thing that my neighbor was doing. I thank God that I found the true vine. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The master of the universe became the true vine. Hallelujah. If you're looking for a vine today, if you're looking for somebody to link up to, if you're looking for somebody to take your jumper cables, if you're looking for a battery, hallelujah, I'm here to tell you his name is Jesus Christ, hallelujah, and he's the true vine. That word true is very important because a lot of people come and they're false, hallelujah. They're false, some willingly being false and some not even knowing they're false or false. If anything claims to give you a fix it and it doesn't point you to the cross of Christ, it's not true. Hallelujah. If the core of his revelation is not Jesus Christ and what he did on Calvary, it's not the true vine. You need to get that. That sounds simple, but it's not, because how come when I look out over what I see through the church, we've got all kind of stuff creeping in? That's not that simple as we think it is it? Verse 2, every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes it away. And every branch that bears fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. I want to stop right there. You know where we get hung up as a church and we frustrate the grace of God? Right when we read that fruit-bearing verse, we want to go make fruit. You can't make no fruit. You ain't bad enough to make fruit. You ain't saved enough to make fruit. You don't got enough goodness in your heart to make fruit. You realize you're a wild branch. Hallelujah. You're wild. Quit trying to make it. You got to look at the whole verse. Hallelujah. I'm about to give you the truth here. Hallelujah. Let's go to verse 3. Now you are clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. What did he speak to him? He told him that he was the way, the truth, and the life. and that no man was going to get to the Father but by him. And how many of you know he not only spoke of justification, but he also spoke of sanctification? Because actually fruit bearing has to do with sanctification. It has nothing really to do with justification. Because how many of you know when you first come in the kingdom, there's really no fruit? Amen. You just got in. But how many of you know when you start to prune things and you start to purge a tree? Amen. How many of you know something pops off of the leaf and you start to get excited? We got any farmers out there? We got any people that grow crops and put things in their backyard? Amen. How many of you know we used to have a garden in our backyard as kids? Oh, it was so embarrassing. Oh my God. We was in the middle of the city. Mom and Dad trying to save money. And we had this whole backyard full of yards of fruits and vegetables. I used to lie to the friends and tell them that we were putting a swimming pool in the back. And but we had a bunch of stuff growing. But how many of you know, you start to get excited when you see something pop on the branch. But you know, it didn't just get, some things were easy to manage. You just put it in and let it go. But some things took pruning. You had to clear out the weeds. You had to get rid of other things so they could grow more. And this is what he's talking about where he purges it. How many of you know sometimes we get purged in this walk? When you hang on to Jesus Christ, he will purge you. He will purge you. He will cause you. And this comes against some theology, but you'll go through some things. And you'll say, oh, it's the devil. No, it's not. God's taking you through. Hallelujah. And if we go by most interpretation of truth, if you ain't got Cadillac faith, you must got sin in your life. I'm here to tell you something. God will sometimes take you down to bring you back up so that you can have more fruit. God will sometimes strip things so that you can have more. Hallelujah. But it says in verse 3, now you are clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, and every branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abides in the vine. No more can you except you abide in me. He just cleared it up. If you take verse 2 and try to, I'm going to start showing love. You know, love is a fruit of the Spirit. You don't have the capacity to love me. You can say, oh, I love you, brother. If you're not loving me through Christ, it's not love. It's some other emotion. You can say, brother, I'm going to have patience today. But you know what? If you lack patience, if that's not something you was given and you need the Holy Spirit to produce, you just can't flip a switch. One thing I will say about AA and NA, they've got enough sense to know you just don't flip a switch and change. People come in as drug addicts and they say, oh, I quit. What'd you do to quit? No, you ain't just quit. It don't just work like that. Something got to happen, don't it, Brother Larry? Something's got to happen. Something's got to happen, don't it, Brother Rich? You just don't flip a switch to just get rid of the lack that you have in your life. Well, how do you get it fixed here? You know how you get it fixed here? You abide. What does the word abide mean? You keep your faith. Oh, glory to God. You keep your faith at the cross. Hallelujah. Somebody say, keep your faith at the cross. And he said, if you keep it there, you will bear fruit. That's sanctification. Hallelujah. Except abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. I am the vine. And you are my branches. All you wild branches, give me a holler. Hallelujah. You are my branches. Are you a branch today? Hallelujah. He who abides in me and in him, the same brings forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Let me share something with you. Fruit is on its way. You abiding in the cross, fruit is on its way. You may sometimes get frustrated at your life and say, how come I can't have patience like brother so-and-so? Why can't I have tolerance like this sister? Why can't I have this like that brother? Let me tell you something. If you keep your faith at the cross, he's going to work it out. Amen. Brother Lauren Larson says that when water keeps running against materials, it begins to decay and to strip it away. That's why they have to rebuild bridges. That's why dams get taken down. They put new dams up. Let me tell you, the water of the word is even more powerful than that. Hallelujah. You keep your faith at the cross of Christ, that Holy Spirit will start eroding. Hallelujah. The things that are blocking you. You can't do it yourself. And if you start trying to turn to works to do it, you're going to frustrate the very grace of God. And Satan will use it. The very love you have for him to have that fruit, to get you to go after it in flesh, in a fleshly kind of way. And your very going after it in the flesh frustrates the grace of God because he won't let you get the glory. It won't work. It blocks the principle. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 5. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. Verse 6. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Sounds a lot like what Paul said, just in a different kind of way. And this is the master talking. Notice the word was abide. See, it's easy to have an emotional response to this gospel. Sometimes when people tell you that you're lost and going to hell and you need a savior, oh, thank you, Jesus. But you got to abide. And I want to encourage you today. Maybe things have happened in your life. Maybe you started to struggle. Maybe Satan attacked you right when you came to the cross. And you began to say, you know what, I'm going to try other means to get my deliverance. I want to tell you, don't turn to other things. Don't just come back to the cross. Amen. I'm here to tell you, it's no coincidence that this preacher is talking to you either by CD or in this audience. Turn back to the cross. Let the water of the word erode it away. It will come to pass. Don't turn away. Hallelujah. Don't grow weary and well doing, because you will reap, hallelujah, in due season. Hallelujah. Verse 6, if you abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. You know, I looked up some things on the internet about vines and trees and all this stuff, and I'm hardly a green thumb. But you know, something fascinated me. Do you know it's actually a phenomenon how nourishment that's in the ground get up to the branches? I didn't know that. I don't know, maybe y'all did, but it blew me away. That it's actually, they have theories on it. They think that there's pressure from the gases that kind of push everything up. But if you think about it, your body has a heart that moves and circulates blood. So nourishment can go from one part to the other part as you eat. How does that tree get all the vitamins and nutrients that's in that soil up? It's an amazing thought. And they still don't know. They have theories. But do you know this is the same analogy that Jesus Christ used about your fruit making? Sometimes we want to put fruit on a tree because it just don't make sense. Well, I got to do something. I got to love. Well, I just got to start loving people. Let's go start a love ministry. And it'll be the fleshest ministry you ever started. And you know what? God's going to show you how to love. Amen. God's going to bring it out of you. Oh, I sense his presence saying that. God's going to bring the fruit that you're looking for. It's not for you to do. You just abide. You just abide. Hallelujah. You just abide at the cross. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And he said in verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear forth much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father loves me, so have I loved you. Continue. That's another word. Continue in my love and keep my commandments. The only way to keep the commandments of God, you aren't strong enough to do it, church. You ain't bad enough. If you want to come forward, that would help. You aren't good enough. I know we all have a good part in us, but you know the Bible declares that all men are declared guilty against the holy God. Without Christ, you realize, church, we are not a good thing. But because of Christ, I'm counted amongst the best. Amen. I could tell you my record. I could tell you everything I did wrong. But you know what? I've got 33 years of a flawless record. Amen. I've got a record of healing the sick and raising the dead. He said, well, brother, you ain't raised nobody. I picked up Jesus' past, present, and future. Amen. That's abiding in the cross. That's abiding. It's a law of substitution. And if you say, well, brother, I have trouble believing that, what are you listening to? What have you networked yourself around? What are you filling your mind with? What are you filling your heart with? Because as you sow, that shall you also reap. And you know, my message today, I had trouble even titling it, but it really had 2 points. One point is, if we got what we really deserved, I want us to see that, church, because sometimes we can just have a sense of entitlement that I have this coming because who I am. And I want us to know we're wild olive branch. We've been granted a grace stance in the kingdom of God that none of us deserve, and we ought to be thankful. But the other thing is, if you are grafted in, there's fruit on its way. And if you're struggling in the area of fruit, keep abiding. Amen. Hold on to the cross. And I know temptations will come until you try this and try that. It has nothing to do with a church, but it has all to do with what you believe. Hold on to Jesus Christ and hold on to the work that was done on the cross. With every head bowed and every eye closed, you're under the sound of my voice, and this is not designed to embarrass anybody or put anybody on the spot, but I trust and I understand the movement and operation of the Holy Spirit. He's been lifted up in here today, and his truth has been magnified. And if you're sitting under the sound of my voice and you sense something in your heart even now, maybe your blood pressure changed, maybe you felt a little bit of pressure even on you, like the spotlight is on you, that's the Holy Spirit. There is a spotlight on you, and he's the one that's spotlighting you. And he's doing it for a reason, because he wants you to know that he loves you, and he wants you to know that the situation that you're in, he knows you're in it. And he also wants you to know that if you abide in him, he's going to see you all the way through it. And you may be listening from a CD and with your head bowed and eyes closed too, as long as you're not driving. I just want you to raise your hand. Raise your hand. Thank you, Lord. I see the hand. Hallelujah. If the Lord is showing you anything in that message and it pertains to you, you just simply give a wave of your hand. Hallelujah. Next. Father, we just thank you that your Spirit, hallelujah, has exposed what you wanted to expose, but more so, Father, that you've already started the grafting in process. Father, that you've encouraged hearts to hold on to Christ. You've got hearts prepared for the near future fight, that's the fight of their life that's right around the corner. Father, you've got people ready to even speak to the neighbors and the friends. Hallelujah. They might got a new way to look at how to approach the lies that they're going to hear in the next days to come. Everybody stand up, please. Hallelujah. I want you to say this after me. Say, Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus, and I hold on to the cross. I thank you for the grace that was allotted to me, undeserved, but well given. Thank you. Now, Father, create the fruit. I get out of the way, and I let you work. I am your workmanship. Continue to make fruit. I will abide. I will continue, as Jesus said. And I'll see you in glory. In Jesus' name, amen. If you need any special prayer today, you can come down right now. We have elders here and myself. We'd love to pray for you. If there's any special requests, I don't know if anyone else has been going through sickness in their body this week, God is here to heal you. Hallelujah. Just begin to keep your attitude of praise in here, y'all. Hallelujah. We've got so much to be thankful for. God has been good to us. Amen. Is there anybody with sickness in their body? Hallelujah. Anyone going through financial dilemma? Hallelujah. That you haven't already stood in prayer for? Amen. Come on down. We'd like to pray for you, lay hands on you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Come on up here, Paul. Hallelujah. This brother here would like to pray. Hallelujah. Anybody else? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Just so you know that there's no, we don't have any special ability to pray for anyone. We are just helpers together to increase your faith, to help you along with your faith. The Lord is the one who provides everything that we need. If you trust in the Lord and you need just that little extra help, you come on up and get prayed for. Because it's through faith in Christ Jesus. We don't carry any special powers or anything. Our power is we're plugged into Jesus Christ. But if you need anything, I guarantee you God will be here to minister to that need. Sometimes even the answer is no, but he's always there to answer you. Just lift our hands and just reach your hand out to this brother that's getting prayed for right now. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.